The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us, Vayetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Shova Vayile Chorono. Yaakov left Be'er Shova and he went to Chorono. Choron, this was the place where Abraham's family lived. And he was fleeing from Esav. But actually the sages tell us that there was a 14-year period from the time he left home till this time where he went to study Torah in the Beis HaMedrash, in the Yeshiva of Ever, the descendant of Noach. Vayivka b'mokom, vayolon shom kivua shemesh, and he came upon a place, and he's stayed there at night because the sun was setting. Vayikach me'avni amokom, and he took from the stones of the place. Vayosem erashesov, and he placed it under his head. Vayishka b'mokom ahu, and he slept there that night. Vayachalayim, and he had a dream. Vinei sula mutzav arso, there was a ladder which foundation was on the land. Vereishem agiyah shemoyim, and the head of the ladder reached into the heavens. Vinei malachei alekim olim v'yodim bay, and the angels of Hashem were going up and down. Vinei Hashem nitzav olav vayomar, and Hashem was standing over and he said, Ani Hashem elekei Avraham avicha velekei Yitzchok, I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Yitzchok. Oretz asher ato sheichi valeo lecho anenu lezarecho, the land which you are laying upon I shall give to you and your seed. V'hoya za'acho ke'afar oretz, and your seed will be like the dust of the land, u'faratz to yoma v'kedmo v'tzafona v'negbo, and will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. V'nivruchu v'cho kol mishpachei sa'adoma v'zarecho, and all of the families of the earth will be blessed with you and your seed. And I will be with you, and I will see that you'll return here. And Yaakov woke up and he realized that this is Hashem is in this place. And he vayira, and he feared, and he said, how fearful this place is. Ki ein ze ki im beis elokim v'zeh shara shomoyim. This is the house of God, these are the gates to heaven. This place where he was sleeping was the place of Har HaMoriah, the mountain where Avraham offered Yitzchok, in the mountain where the Beis HaMikdosh was to be built in Yerushalayim. And then Yaakov got up in the morning and he took from the stone which was under his head, and he made a matzeva, he made a monument from it, and he called this place Beis El. And then he said, he took a vow that if Hashem will be with me and guard me and give me to eat and garments, and I return to my home in peace, and Hashem will be my God, v'hoi Hashem li l'lakim, and this stone will become a Beis HaLakim, the place for the house of Hashem, and everything that Hashem gives me, one tenth I will give to him. In the last two shiurim, we spoke, or the last several shiurim, we spoke about Abraham, who was the first of the Ovish, and he created a new way to serve Hashem, and he was the Amud Ahava, Amud Achesed, the pillar of love, the pillar of loving kindness, where he served Hashem with love. And then there was Yitzchok, who was the Amud Ayira, Yira V'din, he served Hashem from fear and from duty, from responsibility. These were the first two Aves and the first two pillars. This evening, let's go into the qualities of Yaakov, who was the third of these three Aves, the third pillar. Now Yaakov is referred to in the language of the sages as Bechira Aves, the chosen, the most perfect of the three Aves. He reached greater heights than even Abraham and Yitzchok. And a few examples of this is In the next parsha in Vayishlach, Lamed Gimel Chof, the Torah tells us, Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach, that Yaakov made a Mizbeach. This was after the episode of Shechem. After the episode of his confrontation with Esav, right before Shechem. Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach, and he made an altar, Vayikra Lei, Kel Eleke Yisrael. Now Vayikra Lei literally means, and he called him Kel. The God, Kel is a terminology of Lord. It means a powerful king, a powerful Lord. Eleke Yisrael, the God of Israel. So what does it mean? He made a monument and he called him the God of Israel. So Rashi brings the Fipshute, that the simple meaning is Vayikralei, that he referred to the altar. Rashi brings he called the altar, but then Rashi explains not that he called the altar, but he was referring to Hashem, who made this miracle for him and saved him from Esav. This is the simple sense, but this is a very difficult interpretation, because it says Vayikra, it's Vayikra Lei, but this is how Rashi says the simple sense is. Then Rashi says V'Rabbeinu Dorshu, but our sages expounded differently. He brings to the Gemara in Megillah Yudches. The Gemara says Omer of Acho, Omer of Lozer. No, Omer of Racho, Omer of Lozer. Minayin shekoru akorish bohu leYaakov El. How do we know that Hashem referred to Yaakov as El, as Lord? Shneamar, as it states, Vayikra Lei El Elohei Yisrael. The Esau kedaitech lemizbeach kore le Yaakov Kel, Vayikra le Yaakov miboile. If Yaakov was referring to the mizbeach, to the altar, then it should say Vayikra le Yaakov, that Yaakov called it. Instead it says Vayikra le, it just says it, he was called. Ela Vayikra le Yaakov Kel, that Hashem called Yaakov with the word El. This is how the Rabbeinu Dorshu. Now this is something which seems very, very strange, because we know that the word Kel is a word which refers to Lord, which we usually use for Hashem. And here it states that Yaakov made an altar, Vayikra Lei, and Hashem referred to Yaakov as El. This is how the sages darshan, expound. The Maral in his Gur Ayeh explains, and he brings from a medrash that Hashem said to Yaakov, Ato melech betachteinim, v'ani melech be'alyeinim. You are a Lord and I am a Lord. You are the Lord and the all-powerful one, the King betachteinim, in the lower world, and I am the Lord and the all-powerful one in the upper world. This is what the Medrash says, and it's possible. And what does this refer to? When Hashem created the world, so he created many Nivroim, all types of creations. And then he created man to be Melech Betachteinim, man to be the ruler. As it states, Vayirdu B'dgas Hayom, that you shall rule into the depths of the sea, the entire world. And this is why man was created upright, and he walks like a king, and all of the other creatures crawl on all fours, because they are servants to man. So man was made as the king of the Tachtanim, of the lower world.
the most perfect of all men ever to walk on the face of the world was Yaakov. He was the most perfect. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are Eil. Just like I am known as Kael, you are Eil. Just like I am a king and a lord, you are a king and a lord. Except that I am the king and the lord in the Elyonim, in the higher worlds, you are B'tachtonim. You are the perfect and the ruler of the Tachtonim. You are the perfection of man, who is the perfection of the creation of this world. So that's the Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach. He made an altar, Vayikra LeKael Elokei Yisrael, and he was called Kael, he was called El, and the perfection of Israel. Israel became the Bechir Sheba Umais, the chosen of all of the nations, the perfection of the nations, to come and receive the Torah. And where did they come from? They came from Yaakov. Yaakov is the perfection of them. This we see also in our parsha from the Gemara in Chulin, that from the psukim we read that Yaakov went to sleep and angels came. There was a ladder and Malach Elikim Elim Yodim Bei, they were going up and coming down. Now what was the all of the traffic going up and coming down? So there are various interpretations. Rashi brings one. The Gemara in Gid Hanoshe, Perek Gid Hanoshe, Chulin Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, brings another interpretation. The Gemara says, V'hinei malach elekim eili miyodi bei, Tanya, olin umistaklin b'diyunkei shel malo, v'yodin umistaklin b'diyunkei shel mato. The angels were going up, and they were looking at the Kisei HaKoved, at the throne of Hashem. And on the throne of Hashem, there was an image of a man. And they were examining it, and they were coming down the ladder and looking at Yaakov's face and examining it, and they were studying it, that it was exactly the same. That Yaakov's face was exactly the same as the face which was hewed out on the Kisei HaKoved on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. What was Yaakov's face doing there? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has four patsufim, four images of faces on his throne. He has a lion, a face of a lion, a face of an eagle, a face of an ox, a bull, and a face of man. And the face of man was that exactly of Yaakov. So they were going up and going down, and then it states, Vahine Hashem Nitzov Olov, and Hashem was standing over Yaakov. So the Gemara says, why? Boy Lisukune. The angels wanted to kill Yaakov, because they say that here a boss of Adom, a man of flesh and blood, has stolen the face of the throne of the Almighty. So they wanted to kill him. Vahashem Nitzav Olov, and Hashem guarded Yaakov. He guarded Yaakov and protected him. See, so this is the meaning of the pasuk. This is the meaning of the pasuk V'hinei Malach Elokim Olim V'yodim Bei, that the angels of Hashem were going up and down. V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Olov, Hashem was guarding them. Now, what is the meaning of this? The reason why Hashem has these faces on his throne is because Hashem is the king, and he created other kings. He created the eagle to be the king of the office, the king of all of the birds. And he created the bull, the ox, to be the king of all of the behemoths, of all of the farm animals. And he created the lion to be the king of all the wild animals. And then he created man to be the king of all physical beings, and all of this surrounds his throne, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits, who is the Melech HaLakol. He's the king of everything. Why did he have the face of Yaakov? As we mentioned before, because Yaakov was ill. Yaakov was the king of all men. He was the perfection of all men. And therefore, if man was given dominion to rule, then Yaakov was given the most dominion. And the angels had a hard time understanding this because they couldn't understand how a man of flesh and blood could share with the same image that's on the throne of Hashem. But this again shows us how he reached such perfection, and we learn something else from here. That the fact that his image was on the throne of the Almighty, this shows the Devekis that he came closer to the Almighty than any man. To the point where he was bound to the actual throne of Hashem, the Kisei HaKovet. So that is a second example. Now we must understand that even though we say that Yaakov was the Bechir Sheba Ovis, the perfection of the three Ovis, and we see that he rose to a greater perfection than his predecessors, and a greater Dveikus came closer to Hashem than his predecessors. This does not mean that he created or he achieved everything that they achieved, and therefore their achievements are no longer necessary. See, we might think that if he surpassed them, so then what do we need Avraham and Yitzchak for? We don't need Avraham and his achievements, and we don't need Yitzchak and his achievements, because Yaakov did everything. If that would be the case, then no longer would we say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, or would we say Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov, or we would speak about Schus Oves, the Schus of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. We would merely say that we are the Bnei Yaakov, the children of Yaakov, and Elokei Yaakov. So why do we bother? We needed Avraham b'shaita in his time, we needed Yitzchak in his time, but after Yaakov we don't need them anymore. This is false. See, Chalila, this is false. Why? It is true that Yaakov came to greater heights than his predecessors, but that was only because he used and he built on the foundations that his predecessors gave him. What Avraham was mechadesh, what Avraham brought to the world, Avraham brought it and no one else. Yaakov took that and he built further on it, but it was built on the foundations of Avraham. And Avraham was the Rishon. Avraham was the first foundation. He was the first foundation before Yaakov, and he was the first foundation after Yaakov. It's like someone comes along today, Western culture achieves enormous advancements through wisdom and technology. But this is not their wisdom, it's not their technology. It's built on foundations that were discovered and developed 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Mathematics is not theirs. Science is not theirs. The wheel, was it developed thousands of years ago? The lever was developed thousands of years ago. It's all they are doing is taking the principles which were created and developed by others and then advancing them further. But it's not theirs. Many of these principles were brought to the world by the great Greek Empire that were so great in wisdom. This is an example. And Avraham was the first pillar. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that even though there'll be Elokei Avraham and there'll be Elokei Yitzchak and there'll be Elokei Yaakov, and Yaakov will go even further, but always we will say Magen Avraham, Chesmin be Avraham. We will always come back to you, because you laid the first foundation that everyone else built on. And the same thing with Yitzchok. What Yitzchok brought into the world, only Yitzchok brought into the world. And that's why we quoted from a Gemara last week that when Klal Yisrael went away from Hashem, only Yitzchok was capable of bringing them back. Now this doesn't mean that Yaakov was not capable. Yaakov also was capable. But Yaakov was capable because of the power of Yitzchok that he would use, that he inherited. But that was Yitzchok's power. That was what Yitzchok brought into the world. Yitzchok came close to Hashem because he offered himself as a sacrifice. And this created such a bond between Israel and Hashem. So others used that. But that was Yitzchok. So this is what is meant, Elokei Avraham, in the schus of Avraham, and Elokei Yitzchok, in the schus of Yitzchok. But Yaakov did more. He took the other two pillars, and he went further, where he himself came to perfections that never existed in the world before. But still, we can't say, so what do we need Avraham and Yitzchok? He came to those perfections because he had inherited the pillars of Avraham and Yitzchok, and he advanced them and perfected them even further. Now the Gemara in Shabbos and Kuf Mem Vov. Gemara says, Upligad Rababa Bakano. There's a machlekes, a discussion, a difference of opinion in the Gemara, that when the serpent enticed Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, a Zuhama, a certain type of of impurity went into the creation. And there's a question in the Gemara that when did this finally cease from Yisrael? So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says, At Shleish Doris Leposke Zuama Me'avesenu. This impurity did not cease from Yisrael until three generations of our fathers. It existed all the way till Avraham. It existed in Avraham's time. It existed in Yitzchok's time. And did not cease until Yaakov. What's the proof? Because it states, Avraham Hailid Es Yishmael. If Avraham would have been totally perfect, Avraham gave a son to the world like Yitzchok. So we see what Avraham was. But had he been totally perfect, then he would not have given birth to a son like Ishmael. Yitzchok gave birth to a son like Yaakov. But had he been totally perfect, he would not have given forth a son like Esav. Yitzchok hailed as Esav. Yaakov, though, holy Jude be Shvotim, Shaloha Yabehen Shum Deifi. Yaakov, on the other hand, he gave birth to 12 sons. 12 sons that were all perfect. 12 sons, that there was not an imperfection. Defi means anything that's a leaning off center. There was not an imperfection in any of the 12 sons. So we see that the Zuhama, this impurity, did not cease until three generations. Now the Gemara doesn't mean that it took three generations for it to cease, like sometimes we find that it takes three generations to establish a certain level. Because if we were interested in three generations, there was more than three generations. We're talking here about 20 generations from the time of Adam HaRishon, not three generations. But the Gemara means that it took three generations of Oves. It took three generations of Avrahams. Right? From the time of Adam, there was 20 generations till Avraham. And not three generations could purify the Zuhama. And not even 20 generations could. So it's not a question of time. Right? Sometimes we find we need a certain time lapse. So three generations is a time lapse. No, that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means that it took three generations of Avrahams to purify the Zuhama. Avraham started, and we see that by the fact that he gave birth to Yitzchak, but he gave birth to Yishmael also. Yitzchak went further, and we see that because he gave birth to Yaakov, but he gave birth to an Esav also. And Yaakov went further to the point where he purified Yisrael from the Zuhama completely. And this we see from the fact that he gave birth to 12 sons and Ein Behem Shum Defi. So the Gemara brings that on all 12 sons we find in the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu added his names to. For example, by Reuven he's called Reuveni. Hashem added a Yud. Shimain Shimaini. Hashem added a Yud. He put his name on all 12 sons to show that not only did he put his name on Yaakov, but on all 12 sons. Okay. Now, to give a little more background into this, that if we look in Parshas Lech Lecha, near the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, that's in Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches, where Hashem came to Avraham and said that I'm going to give you a son. Vayim Elekim Avo Sora Ishtecha Yeleres Lecha Bein. So Avraham answered, but I already have Yishmael. Halavai lu Yishmael yichya lefonecho. I have Yishmael. So Hashem answered, Sori ishtecho yeleres lecho bein. Sori will give forth a son to you. Because also Shema Yitzchok, and he will be called Yitzchok, v'hakimesi esbrisi itay levris eilom lezare achrov. And my covenant will be made with Yitzchok, not with Yishmael. I will also bless Ishmael, and he also will become a great and mighty nation. But with my covenant that I made with you, when I told you Lech Lecha Me'atzecho, and I gave you all of the brachas, that will be with Yitzchok, not with Ishmael. Then, in Parshas Vayera, when Sarah came, and told Abraham, chase out this maidservant. Chase out the maidservant and her son, Ishmael. Because he will not inherit together with my son Yitzchok. This is in Bereishis Vayira. This is in Chof Aleph. Pasuk Yud Beis. So Hashem, Abraham was very upset. Vayim elikim al Abraham al yere be'einecho al anar ve'al amosecho. Don't worry, Hashem said. Kol ashetim elecha sora shma bekeilo. Whatever Sora tells you, listen to her. Ki ve'yitzchok yikore lecho zora, because your seed will not go through Yishmael, your seed will go through Yitzchok. Now from here we learn another level. It doesn't say ki yitzchok yikore lecho zora. It's a very important halacha. It doesn't say ki Yitzchok yikor elocha zora. Yitzchok will be your inheritance, but it says be Yitzchok. In Yitzchok will be your inheritance. Why didn't it say Yitzchok will be your inheritance? From here, the sages expound: be Yitzchok, will they call Yitzchok? In Yitzchok will be your inheritance, and not all of Yitzchok, part of Yitzchok. Yitzchok will have two sons. One will be Esav, and one will be Yaakov. Part of Yitzchok will be your inheritance, and not all of Yitzchok. Actually, the Gemara brings there was a difference between Esav and Yishmael. Yishmael wasn't part of Yisrael at all. Esav really was part. The Gemara calls Esav Yisrael Buma. He had a chance to be part of Yisrael, but then he went away. So we see the further purification of the generations. So the purification went that Abraham, and then there were Yitzchok and Yishmael. And Yishmael was not part of the covenant at all. Yitzchok went further, and he had Esau, Yaakov, and Esau. And Esau was Nitche, Esau went away, and it went through Yaakov. And Yaakov and his 12 sons. So this was the purification. And this is what we find in our parsha, what we read in Pasuk Chof Aleph, that Yaakov said, when he got up from his dream, Yaakov said, V'shafti v'shalom al beis ovi, I will return, if I return to the house of my father, V'hoya Hashem li lelekim, and Hashem will be me, for me, a God. What does that mean? That Hashem will be for me a God. So Rashi brings, Shiyochel shmi olai mitchil v'atzeif, Hashem will be for me a God, he will place his name on me in its entirety. Shleimotzei psul bizari, that there will not be any psul, there will not be any psul, any rejection in my seed. It states lezaracha acharecha, that Yaakov was the only one where Hashem placed his name on kol zaracha acharecha, on all of his children. Yaakov placed his name in Avraham, but only in part of his children. He played in Yitzchok. And in Yitzchok he placed his name on Yitzchok and only in part of his children, Yaakov. But on Yaakov he placed his name, Ulezaracha Acharecha, and on all of his children afterwards. And that's what Yaakov was mispalacha. This is what he prayed for. That Vahoy Hashem li lelekim, Hashem will be for me entirely. Mitchil v'atzei, from beginning to end, with all of my children. And this was finally fulfilled here. So this was the final perfection of the Klal Yisrael, and the Psika Zuhama, according to that opinion in the Gemara, where the Zuhama, where the impurity ceased. Many times people want to know, how do we define a Jew? So who is a Jew? A Jew is someone, if he's a Jew by birth. A Jew by birth is someone who's born to Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Must be born to all three. To be born to Abraham is not a Jew. That all the nations, all the Arab nations were also came from Abraham, the descendants of Ishmael. To be born to Abraham and Yitzchok also is not a Jew. The Romans and Amalek also came from Abraham and Yitzchok through Esav. But he must be born from Abraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov. If he's a Jew by birth, from all three. In other words, there were three kedushas, and Yaakov was the perfection of them. Now, to go into a little more explanation as to what took place, as we said before, that the basic quality which Abraham brought to the world was the Amud HaChesed V'Ava. It's a quality of loving kindness. This is referred to in the sages. They give it a name. They refer to it as a Yad Yamin, a person doing with his right hand. Yitzchok brought into the world the Amud HaYire, where he served Hashem with a great Yireh Shemayim, fear of Hashem, fear of heaven. And this is referred to the sages as Yad Smol, to serve Hashem with your left hand. Since we see one is from the right and one is from the left, this means they're minatzdodim, they're from the sides, because the right is a very good side, but it's still, it's a side of a person, and the left is also a good side, but it's also to a side of the person. So they served Hashem in Hatzodim. Each approach to Hashem was from a different aspect, a different approach, but it was from the side. Now, these qualities are very, very great qualities. The fact is, isolated, probably Chesed and Ava are the greatest qualities possible, if you isolate them. But these qualities, even though they are very outstanding, they're not always good. For example, a person sometimes with his Ava and Chesed can do bad things. They can even destroy a world. If a person wants to do good and kindliness to someone who, let's say, is a criminal, is a ruthless person, a retzeach, a murderer. You have a murderer in the world, and the Torah says, "Biato arami kirbecho," he must be eliminated. And a person wants to do chesed for him, he wants to do good for him. The Gemara tells us, "Amarachim ala achzorim, seifei la achzor ala rachmoni," that those who show compassion to the ruthless and to the cruel, then will be, they will be cruel to the compassionate. You're very nice to be compassionate towards a murderer, a criminal. So what do? You free him. You put him back on the streets to the point where he can mug someone or he can kill someone. So what was your compassion? You were compassionate to the ruthless, and you were ruthless to the compassionate. Better be compassionate to the compassionate and see that he doesn't go back out of the streets. Eliminate him. If you're ruthless towards the ruthless, you are demonstrating compassion towards the compassionate. If you're compassionate towards the ruthless, that's very nice. But at the same time, you're being axorim, ruthless and cruel towards the compassionate. And the Gemara brings cases of this. The classical example is Shaul HaMelech. Shaul was given a directive to destroy Amalek. And he had the Rachmonis. He didn't want to destroy all of them. So he saved some because of Rachmonis. And what did his chesed and rachamim do? Because he saved some, Haman was born. Because Haman was born, he almost destroyed the entire nation of Israel. Kol ha-Yehudim, minar v'adzokin, noshim v'taf b'yom echod. Every Jew in the world, man, woman, and child. This was a fine thing that came. This came from chesed, this came from rachamim. Had he destroyed them like he was supposed to, there would have never been a Haman. Had someone demonstrated uxorious cruelty where it was supposed to be demonstrated, then there wouldn't have been a Hitler. Hitler also would have been destroyed. There wouldn't have been a Hitler. Maybe there wouldn't have been a Holocaust. At least not through Hitler. So even though this is a very, very great midah, a very great quality, it comes from a side. And just as it can build worlds, it can destroy worlds. Even a greater example to this is Anshei Sdeim Chatoim v'Roim Me'ayid. Roim v'Chatoim Me'ayid. The people of Sdeim were extremely, extremely evil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to eliminate them from the face of the earth. Kema pechas Sdeim v'Amora. He destroyed these cities so there would never be remnants left of them. So you can imagine how cruel and wicked these people were. Abraham came to Hashem and he said, have rachmanis on them. How can you destroy cities like that? Where is your chesed? Where is your rachmanis? Hashefit kol oris l'yase bishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. You're right, put your case forward, I'll listen. But what happened in the end? In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to Abraham's chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped them off the face of the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Sheirish HaChesed, he's the source of all chesed in the world. So what do we see? That chesed and rachamim, how great it is, if it's misdirected, it will destroy a world. The same thing by Yira, Midas HaYira. Yira means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with exactness, not to transgress. Yira may be Lidei Zehirus, that a person is not supposed to go beyond. Chesed is where you go Lifnim Mishur HaSadim. You go beyond the law, you do more. Yira is you do exactly what you have to. You don't transgress, you don't trespass. You serve like an avid l'rabbi, like a servant to a mighty king. No trespassing. Yiras ha'odon, to fear Hashem. Ein lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ilom ha'ilel yirashamayim b'lvad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the greatest thing I have in this world is the fear of heaven, when people fear me. What can be greater than Yira? But at the same time, Yira also can destroy a world. Where do we see it can destroy a world? We see it right in the beginning. It states in Parshas Bereishis, in the first pasuk, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Elokim, that name in particular of Hashem, that the Gemara says refers to a dayan, a judge. Elokim zubezdin. Hashem came to create, his motive to create the world was to do chesed. But when he created the world, all the aldaitai, all the b'machshavtai, he thought first to create it with Elokim as a world of din, of exactness. You do what's right, good. You do what's wrong, you're eliminated. That's how he wanted to create the world. Later on it says, B'yayim aseis Hashem. Later on, it states that on the day when Hashem created the world, and then it doesn't say Elokim. Then it says the Shem Yudke Vovke Hashem. And that name is Rachamim. That name is compassion. So why did it change? So Rashi brings Bara Elokim v'lo Oma Bara Hashem shebitchila ole b'machshav v'livreis v'midas adin v'ro she'en ha'ila miskayim v'higdim midas adin v'higdim midas rachamim v'shotfer l'midas adin v'haydu d'ksim v'yoyim asis Hashem Elokim eres v'shomoyim. Later on it says Hashem Elokim, both names. Hashem wanted to create it with din, with exactness, but then he saw that the world would be destroyed. It would cease, it will not continue, the world under such exactness. So therefore he brought in rachamim, compassion, and he created it with both. That's why in the beginning it states Bereishis bo Elokim. Elokim refers to a dayan, a judge has to be exacting. And later on it says B'yayim haseis Hashem Elokim, that on the day he created the world he used both names, both the name of a judge and the name of compassion. So what do we see from here? That no matter how great fear is, can also destroy worlds. Fear and exactness can also destroy worlds. This is why these approaches are to one side or the other side, either from the right side or to the left side, but they're from a side. And anything that comes from a side is not in perfection. It's an extreme. It's minat stodi, and it's not perfect. It's for this reason that Abraham in all of his greatness still gave birth to Yishmael. And Yitzchok in all of his greatness still gave birth to an Esav. Yishmael and Esav had contrary qualities. By Yishmael, when Yishmael was born, so Hashem said, "Hu yeh per odom." He will be a per odom, yod bakol, and his hand will be by everyone. Per odom means a wild person. Yod bakol, taking from everyone. This is the manifestation of a unbridled desire. See? An unbridled lust and desire. It'll be a pera odom, a wild person, yod bakol, his hand by everyone. This was Esav. Excuse me, Yishmael. By Esav it states, al char b'chetichya, you shall live by the sword. What does it mean, you shall live by the sword? This is sina, this retzicha, milchoma. Hatred, nikoma, revenge. Murder, war. These were the sons of Esau. This was Edom, Rome. You will live by the sword. This is not from an unbridled lust, but this comes just the opposite, from a great hatred. Sina. So these two are also opposites. Avraham, that was the Midas HaChesed V'Ava. Avraham had enormous love. The Gemara tells us, Ava maybe lideis rishus. Love instills enthusiasm in a person. Love instills zeal in a person. The Gemara tells us, kum va'aseh. Love and chesed, when a person has that in his heart, kum va'aseh, it motivates him to go do. We always find Abraham was going to do. Verotza labokor, he ran. Vayash came Abraham baboker, he got up early in the morning. He saddled his own donkey. Ava mekalkelis es ha-shura. Even though he had all kind of servants, he was so full of energy that was being generated by his great love and his great motivation. And therefore the Chazal tell us that mitzvahs in the Torah, which are kum va'aseh, a mitzvah aseh, a positive commandment, a person must do that with keach ha'ava. When it comes to a positive commandment, it's very important. When it comes to a commandment like kiddush, or like lulav esrog, or sukkah, or tefillin, a person must not go to such a mitzvah with yira, with a fear. He must go to such a mitzvah with an ava, with motivation and love, and zrizus. Yira is just the opposite. Yira maybe lidei zehirus. Yira causes a person to withdraw. A person's in the presence of a mighty king. He's careful of what he does. He's careful of what he says. He keeps his mouth closed. He treads carefully. A servant or a slave is in the presence of his master. He has awe. When you see the ocean, you have derech eretz, you have respect. This is just the opposite. This causes a person to withdraw. A yira maybe lidei zehirus. Yira causes a person to withdraw. This is why when you come into a mokam ayira, if you come into a place where you're supposed to have yira, there you're not supposed to go jumping around and shouting with an avo. There is yira. That's why it states that when you come to the Beis HaMikdosh, it states in the Torah, Es Mikdoshai Tirou, you're coming into the house of Hashem. Yire Yeseira Nitztavel Ala Mikdosh. The Gemara says that we're there, we were commanded in extra dimensions of fear, because you're walking into the Palton Shel Melech. This is in Yerushalayim also, the Gemara says. You come to Yerushalayim, Palton Shel Melech. You have to tread carefully. That's why there are many things that we can do in other places, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. Many things we can do in other places, but not in Yerushalayim. You don't go and do everything that you do outside the palace of the king, in the presence of the king. And that's the same thing with the Beis HaKnesses. So that's the opposite Midah. And the Gemara says, the Chazal tell us, Leisa says, negative commandments, those a person is supposed to approach with a yira. When it comes to isurim, things that the Torah forbade, there you don't approach them full steam ahead, you approach them with a withdrawal, with a zehirus, with a yira. So these are opposite qualities. Avraham, who had so much avon chesed in him, but if it's without gevulim, if it's without boundaries, what does that become? That becomes an unbridled taiva. That becomes an unbridled lust and desire. And because Avraham had not reached the ultimate of perfection yet, he gave birth to Yishmael. Yishmael was a perodim. Perodim means no control, no self-control over himself. Yodabakol, anything he saw, he wanted to take for himself. Working entirely on impulse. This is what Peraoda means. Yitzchok, who was the Amud HaYirva Avoda, of self-control, of perfect discipline, of withdrawal, of Zihirus, but still if it's unbridled, if it's without Gevul, without limitations, proper direction, what does that become? From there comes a withdrawal to the point which brings hatred to people. The line between fear and hatred is not that wide of a margin. Because fear, when you have fear from someone, this causes you to withdraw. Zihirus. This is a tzimtzum hakeches. And that of hatred, which from there comes revenge, from there can come cruelty, from there can become murder, war. This comes from a withdrawal. People that withdraw from society, people that withdraw from other people, it can bring them to hate people, to fight against them. People who have a lot of love in their hearts, they like other people. They always like to be with people, and they like other people, and they want to bring other people close to them. People who have fear in their hearts, fear causes a person to withdraw. You come to a hot fire, you stand back. You withdraw from society. It can, if it goes too far, it can make you turn against society. And from Yitzchok's Yireh came an Esav. Avraham used Avav Chesed the way it should have been used. But from him came Yishmael that used it the way it shouldn't have been used. Yitzchok used Yireh the way it should have been used. But from him came an Esav that used it the way it shouldn't have been used. And this is what is meant by the Pselus.
you take a fruit that is good, but there's also something in it that's not good. The Pselus, Yishmael was the Pselus of Avraham, and Esav was the Pselus of Yitzchak. So we see that even though these pillars were enormous, but they were not perfect. And this the Gemara brings out, we see in their children. Yaakov, on the other hand, he became perfect, and his children were perfect. What did he develop? What was his secret? On Yaakov it states, he was the Amor HaTeir. The Mishnah, second Mishnah Masech Tovis tells us, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'elam Omei, there are three pillars to the world. Al HaTeir, Al HaVeir, Al Gimel Chasodim. Chesed, that's Avraham. Avoda, Yira, this was Yitzchak. What was the third? The third was Yaakov. Torah. Where do we see that Yaakov was Torah? Because in last week's Parshas told us, it states, Vayigdilu anorim. The two boys grew up, Yaakov and Esav. Esav ishode. Esav was a man of the field. Yaakov ishtam yesheva olim. Yaakov was a perfect man. Tam means he's perfect. Sholem. Yesheva olim, dwellers of tents. Sages say, Ohel shel shem ve ohel shel ever. He dwelled in the tents of shame and aver. This is the first place where explicitly the Torah teaches us, speaks of someone who gave so much of his life for the study of Torah. So much of his energies were given to the study of Torah, this became the description of Yaakov, Yosheva Olim, where he dwelled in the tents of shame and aver, and their yeshivas. And then also we find that in the beginning of our parsha, there's a whole calculation made, and from the time he left Esav until the time now, there were 14 years missing, and those were 14 years that he spent in the Beis HaMedrash of Ever, where it states for 14 years he didn't even sleep in a bed. Day and night did he learn. It says Vayishka v'mokam, he's ahu, that he's laid down here. This was the first time that he laid down in this place, but not in a place before. He slept, but he slept on his sefer, on his book. Then it states, there's a posuk right before Matan Torah in Parshas Yisro, Kosoma Leveish Yaakov V'Sagid Livnei Yisrael. As Klal Yisrael were coming to receive Torah, this is what you shall say to the house of Yaakov, and this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. So the Yalkut, the Medrash states of that posuk, this is what you shall say Lebeish Yaakov, Bishush Yaakov, and this is what you shall say the Sagid Libnei Yisrael, to the children of Yisrael, Bishush Yisrael, that the Torah was given in the Shush of Yaakov and the Shush of Yisrael. Yaakov and Yisrael were the same. We see the Torah was given in his Shush. Now, what was this quality? This quality was Yaakov was called Tam. Tam means perfect. Perfect means not to the right nor to the left, but perfect. We find Yaakov was given another name, Yeshurun. Yeshurun is from the word Yoshur. And we find many times it's written Tam v'Yoshur. That means straight. If you draw a straight line, it must be straight. If there's leanings to the right or leanings to the left, no longer is it straight. Yaakov took the pillar of Abraham, which was from the right side, and he took the pillar of Yitzchak, which was from the left side, and he made a synthesis between the two. He put them both together and he made one out of them, and a synthesis. And from here came something else. And that's the perfection of Torah. For example, it states that Torah was given in the third month. And the Gemara brings that there are many things that we see the Torah was identifies with three. And the Maral explains why. Because one is to one side, two is to another side, the third joins them together. And it was Yaakov was the third of the Ovis. There was Avraham on one side, Yitzchok on another, and Yaakov joined them together. So Yaakov had this power of emtsoi, middle. Not to the right, not to the left, but middle. And how was it the middle? By combining the right and the left and making them into one. This was Yaakov's power. And this was each tongue. This is the power of Torah. We have in Masechta Ovis, it states that in the attributes that a person needs to acquire Torah, the number 48, three of them are mentioned, Eves Hatzdokes, Eves Hatechoches, Eves HaMeshorim. A person, if he wants to acquire Torah, he has to have love for Tzedakah, charitable. He has to have love for Techoches. Techoches means rebuke and punishments. And he has to have love for Meshorim. Meshorim means right and wrong. What's right? So the Maral there explains why. It's a very important. You have people by nature who are Balei Tzedakah. They love to give charity. Good people love to give charity. But when it comes to rebuking someone, or rebuking themselves, or punishment, this they're very far from. You have other people who are on the left side. They don't care to give too much stokah or chesed, but they're very good when it comes to rebuke, or punishment, or discipline. These people will not acquire Torah. They will not become great in Torah. Why? Because Torah encompasses all. Torah does not come from one side, but it encompasses all. And if a person wants to be identified with Torah, he's going to have to have a love for Tzedakah, and a love for Techoches, a love for rebuke and punishment where it has to be, and an Eves HaMeshorim, and a love for Meshorim is the Mishpot, where you have to do what's right, and not more than that's right, and not less. In other words, Torah encompasses all of this, and it's a synthesis of all of this. And if a person wants to come to Torah, he's going to have to be able to identify with all of it. Otherwise, he cannot identify with Torah. So this is what Yaakov achieved. He achieved the balance. He achieved the perfection of the pillars of Avraham and Yitzchok. Where a person has to use all of these powers, but each one in a synthesis and each one in its proper place. There are many times in the Torah that we're commanded to do chesed and tzedakah. There are other times in the Torah where we are commanded to go to war. We are commanded to destroy. There are other times where we are commanded not to lean to the right or to the left. The Torah guides us. He cannot be guided by his nature, but he has to be guided by Torah. This is the halacha. Halachas and halicha, these are the same words. The Torah teaches a person how to walk. And he doesn't walk to the right and he doesn't walk to the left, but he walks center. And this is why Torah is made up of positive commandments and negative commandments. A person can say, I'll fulfill all the positive commandments and not the negative commandments, or vice versa. But it's all part of the synthesis of Torah. It was because of this that Yaakov came to greater heights in self-perfection, and in dvekes to Hashem, in binding himself to Hashem. Because Avraham came to Hashem from a side, and Yitzchok came from another side. See, even though they came to enormous heights, their bond to Hashem was not perfect. But Yaakov came from center to the point where his bond to Hashem was perfect, and that's what we quoted before. Tzurasei Chokuk b'kisei HaKovid, where his face, the image of his face, was on the Kisei HaKovid, on the throne of Hashem himself. This perfection. And this is why that there was no psoilus, there was no imperfection from him. Hashem put his name on Yaakov in his entirety and on all of his children. It's interesting, Yaakov was the power to be ma'achid, where he took what the other two created and he made one from it. The 12 sons that he had, which he gave the brochas to, Yaakov encompassed all of the brochas. These were the brochas that came from Avraham to Yitzchok to Yaakov. And to each son he gave, a brocha. Not all of the brochas. All the 12 sons together could inherit what Yaakov had. But Yaakov encompassed all what the 12 sons had. The 12 sons are the numerical value of Echot, because there were actually 13, because Yosef was divided into two tribes. And 13 is the numerical value of Echod. And the Aleph stands for Levi, that was a tribe always by himself. And the Ches were the 8 sons that came from Rochel and Leah. And the Dalet are 4 sons that came from the Shvoches, from the maidservants. And why Echod? Because this was Yaakov's power, to make one from all of the before. Now there's a very interesting medrash on this parsha. The medrash asks, it states that when, in the psukim that we quoted, that when Yaakov went to sleep, he took me'avne hamokum, he took from the stones of the place. When he woke up, it states vayikach ha'evan, he took the stone. Before were stones, and now was a stone. So the Medrash brings Samaches Yud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mechemya v'Rabbonim. 3 opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says Shnayim Esrei Avonim, he took 12 stones. Notu Kach Gozar Akorish Baruch Hu Shumayim Min Shnayim Moser Shvotim. He says he took 12 stones. Avraham le'amidon, Yitzchak le'amidon. He says Avraham was not capable of bringing the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes, into the world, and neither was Yitzchak. If I can take from these 12 stones, if I can make one from them, then I know that I will have the skus to bring the 12 tribes into the world. And when he woke up in the morning, there was one stone. That's one opinion. A second opinion is, the Nechemya said he took 3 stones. One represented Avraham, one represented Yitzchok, and if I can, and one will represent myself. And if from the 3 stones will be one in the morning, then I know I will be successful. And then there's another opinion where he took 2 stones. And he says Avraham, one represents Avraham, but from Avraham came out Ishmael. The other represents Yitzchok, but from Yitzchok came out an Esav. If I will take these 2 stones and make one out of them, then I know that from me there will be no imperfections. And in the morning he woke up and there were 1 stone. Now this is all in regards to what we're saying, that this was Yaakov's enormous achievement. What do we learn from this? We learn from this, everyone has their own nature. Everyone is born with a particular nature. Some a nature towards the right of more chesed, some with a nature towards the left of more yireh. But the Chazal say, the Torah tells us, that a person must not go to the side. He must use both hands. He must walk in the middle. You find in the world, many times you have the what the world classifies as the right-wing conservative movement, the left-wing liberal movement. And you see, many times it looks like the conservatives are right, and there's a swing to the conservatives. Many times it looks like the liberals are right, and there's a swing to the liberals. The answer is neither are right. There's good qualities in the conservatives and there's bad qualities. There's good qualities in the liberals and there's bad qualities. We don't have time to go into it in detail. But just like we see from what we quoted before, there's a time and a place for every proper direction. But the time must be proper and the place must be proper. And it must be balanced with a perfect synthesis. Even what's done has to be a synthesis. And this is the power of Torah. This was the Kriyat HaTorah. This is what Yaakov achieved. This is also why in our parsha it states, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the brocha to Yaakov, which was given to Avram and Yitzchok, so he said, "V'hoya za'acho ki afa oretz," your children will be like the dust of the land. Now that's nothing new, because that he told to Avram and Yitzchok, but he added something. "Ufaratz to yoma v'kedma v'tzafona v'negbo," you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. That's something he did not tell the other Ovish. So the Chazal say the bracha given to Avraham was limited, because he said all of these lands, Asher Echo, which I shall show you, shall be yours. Only what I show you. The bracha that was given to Yitzchok was limited, because he said these lands and not more. But the bracha that was given to Yaakov was belimit sorim, unlimited. You will spread out all over. And why? Because when a person approaches from an extreme, no matter how good that extreme might be, eventually it ends. Al says, if you take a piece of paper and you draw a line, if the line is crooked, even a little crooked, eventually it's going to go off the paper and disappear. So there's limits to it. But to yosher and tam, to something that is straight, that's unlimited. Goes forever. Heads in the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we find also all factions, see, eventually that were to the right or to the left, eventually they disappear. Torah straight. Torah's kaim lo'ad. And this was Yaakov. Therefore, Avraham's bracha had limitations. And Yitzchok's bracha had limitations. But Yaakov was given b'li metzorim, a bracha that had no limitations whatsoever. This is the Derech HaTorah. This was the way of Yaakov. So now we see what Yaakov perfected, not himself. He built on the foundations from Avram and Yitzchok and perfected it even further until he became the Bechira Oves, until Yisrael, the name of Yisrael, came to his children, all of them, and they came to receive Torah. So we should be zeicher to approach Torah in the manner of Yaakov Avinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.